Middle East and Africa.
Lebanon and Syria. An unlikely haven. As war rages in the Middle East, Shias are fleeing to a deadly dictatorship.
To grasp how bad things are in Lebanon, consider that Syria, where war and tyranny created the world's largest refugee crisis, now seems like a place of safety. Since September, around 500,000 people have fled Israel's invasion for the war-torn and fragmented state next door. More than two-thirds are returning Syrian refugees. The rest are almost all Lebanese Shias who hope Syria's leader, who himself belongs to a Shia splinter sect, the Alawites, will be more welcoming than Lebanon's rival ones. Their meager savings, following the collapse of Lebanon's currency, go further in destitute Syria too. Some 16.7 million Syrians rely on aid, according to the United Nations. There is a lack of basic services, but UN agencies hand out food and rents are very cheap. Such is the influx that house prices and rents are climbing for the first time in a decade. Bashar al-Assad, Syria's dictator, has long relished the chance to replace the country's Sunni majority, who fled the country's cities in droves at the height of the civil war, with more pliant minorities. His Alawite base makes up just 10% or so of the population. Hundreds of thousands of Lebanese Shias are a welcome addition. Mr. Assad is wooing those fleeing by waiving the $100 border fee for the Lebanese. Some are said to have received Syrian passports. Given his dire economy, he might yet seek to monetize the refugees. EU policymakers, who had feared Israel's war would push more refugees their way, have struggled to conceal their relief at the unexpected flight of Syrians east rather than west. Last summer, 8 EU countries signed a paper proposing to support some reconstruction in Syria and ease sanctions if Mr. Assad took back some of the 1 million Syrians who managed to get into Europe. But for many of the displaced, Mr. Assad's broken realm is just a stopping point. Plenty of Sunni returnees fear his vengeful goons and head straight for the Turkish and Kurdish enclaves to the north and east. Nor are Lebanon's Shias overjoyed about going to Syria. Israel suspects some are members of Hezbollah, the Iran-backed Shia militia in Lebanon, and has sent its warplanes and drones in pursuit. Hezbollahis remember the crucial role they played in propping up Mr. Assad's regime. "We saved your regime, don't let us now perish," pleads one. But Mr. Assad's battered forces would struggle against Israel's and would rather keep out of the fray. Local anger is also brewing. Some Syrians resent the competition for already limited rations. Others recall how Hezbollah fighters intervened in their civil war, devastating their towns and turning them into dens for making Captagon, a drug which is now Syria's biggest export. Some fear the Lebanese influx could turn Syria into Israel's next theater of war. "You can't defend yourselves, let alone us," says a woman in Homs, near the Lebanese border. "Please don't lead us into your conflict." So tens of thousands of Lebanese are heading still farther east to richer Iraq. The better connected have moved into empty flats that Iraqis say Hezbollah bought during the country's real estate boom when Lebanon's economy plummeted. Iraq's Shia-dominated government is welcoming them. The Prime Minister has ordered that they should be issued with hard-to-get work permits and be given housing subsidies. Iraq's well-armed Shia militias, who underpin the state, offer better protection than Mr. Assad does. The flight of whole populations is nothing new to the Middle East. But these latest demographic changes are widening sectarian gulfs already reopened by the war.